Your Career Doctors on Grapevine Radio. I'm Barbara Jackson, your host, and I'm joined in the studio by our co-host, Lee Miller.
And we're your career doctors.
Your Career Doctors is all about taking control of your career.
It's about providing you with the information, contacts, skills, and tools you need, both on our show and on our website, yourcareerdoctors.com.
Career Doctors also provides you with access to experts, like our guest today, Delia Passy. Lee, can you tell us a little bit more about Delia?
Our guest today is Delia Passy, the president of Medelia Communications, a public relations firm specializing in marketing to women, and the author of Winning the Toughest Customer, The Essential Guide to Selling to Women. Welcome, Delia.
Thank you for having me. Happy Monday.
Thank you. Now, Delia, is sales a good profession for people to go into?
Absolutely. You know, we don't realize that sales, some people are intimidated by sales, but you think about it, selling is all about communicating. And if you have a lot of women on this on the line, then, you know, you're going to, this is exactly, I would always say, you know, I think women are natural salespeople because it's all about building relationships and communication, and they just tend to do it so well. And for the men on the line, you know what, you guys are natural at, you know, taking action, moving toward the goal, and so you have some real assets there as well. So between the two, I think, you know, a happy medium delivers an extraordinary salesperson.
Good. So those are the qualities you would say are necessary to be a good salesperson?
Some of them, but the stronger ones.
Any others you would point to that you think are really important to be a good salesperson?
Yes. Well, you have to be focused on, you know, obviously making money at the end of the day. It's all about, you know, return, how much you could close business versus how much time you spend. At the end of the day, what you're doing is you're delivering a service or you're selling a product to a customer who needs that product, who needs the service. So, you know, you're obviously delivering something that will increase the value, whether it's their business or their life. So you look at it as a positive opportunity to impact their lives positively. But, you know, while you're selling in the sales process, it's very important that you fine-tune your listening skills. So somebody who is an active listener is probably the person who is more inclined to do more selling.
Okay. Now, why do you think more women don't go into sales?
Well, because here's an interesting thing. When you ask a man how many times a day does he negotiate, he'll typically come up with, you know, 5, 7. I mean, they just think of it as, you know, all day long they're negotiating something. But when you talk to women about, you know, how many times a day does she negotiate, most women say they don't negotiate during the day. And that's, you know, a misconception. It's really, we are negotiating all day long. You know, if you get your kids to clean up the room, you know, you've negotiated. If you've gotten somebody to finish a project for you, you've negotiated. If you've left a meeting and you have, you know, actionable steps, you've negotiated what those are. We negotiate all day long, and women don't think of themselves, though, as negotiators. And in sales, it's very much a negotiation game.
So you share my view that sales and negotiating are really interchangeable in terms of the skills involved.
Absolutely. It's very important to understand that, you know, in sales there are a lot of skills that are involved, but most of them come actually natural to most people.
Okay. Now, if you want to be a salesperson, what should you do to prepare for a career in sales?
Well, I think it's very important to first identify what kind of life structure you want. You know, to me, there are so many different types of sales opportunities out there. So, you know, some people might go into real estate because they have better opportunity, you know, to share the responsibility of children with their spouse, and they can do weekends and evenings. And, you know, so you have to look at what do you want. You may want to do more of a 9-to-5, and, you know, pharmaceutical sales might be an opportunity for you. You might want to climb the corporate ladder, and sales may be the stepping stone into a corporation. So, you know, you want to look at corporations that have management tracks that support and recognize those salespeople who can obviously make a stronger contribution within the organization on the management end. So it's kind of, I would say, first identify what are your short-term goals and long-term goals. What do you want out of this career? You know, is it flexibility? Is it independence? You know, is it a career track? Where do you see yourself 3 years from now and 5 years from now and 10 years from now? And then you could backtrack and then look at, you know, the fields in which are more accommodating to some of those goals.
Now, do you think women prefer to buy from other women?
Actually, it's very interesting. Not necessarily. You know, women want to buy from people who they trust, who could provide the credibility and the trust that goes into a comfortable sales experience and then building the relationship with that salesperson. For example, financial services. You know, one of the large financial firms did a survey, and 92% of all the women surveyed said that they had no preference when it came to men or women. What they wanted was somebody who absolutely they could trust with their money and that would listen to them and be there for them. You know, that took precedence over the gender of the person who was selling. There are some areas, though, that, you know, women prefer other women, and I think that's a real, you know, opportunity for these women. So it's a matter of what field are you looking for, and then what does the customer expect from it?
Okay. Now, why did you write Winning the Toughest Customer?
Winning the Toughest Customer is actually the tagline, is the essential guide to selling to women. And it's a book that's written for women and men. Actually, I have to tell you, I wrote it with a lot of male speak because I felt that, you know, we needed to let them understand that it's not a one-sided street here. We're not just asking, you know, men to understand women. It's also women understanding men in the sales process. But it was written so that anybody in sales could improve or increase their sales among women. And I wrote it because I've been in marketing almost all my life, and what I found was that no matter how much marketing your company does, you could do the best advertising, the best marketing. The rubber meets the road when the woman is in front of the salesperson. So the marketing drives a woman to the store, let's say, but it's the last 3 feet of the sale. It's the person who has the last point of contact with that woman that will actually make or break that decision, whether or not to do business with that company. So I think it's very important that we recognize that there are specific skill sets and tools that every salesperson should be equipped with when approaching a woman in the sales process.
Okay, now here's the key question. What's the difference between selling to a man and selling to a woman?
Well, women and men want different things from the sales experience. It's very interesting. Men tend to be more to the point. There's more of a goal. You know, there are certain things, expectations that men have in the sales process. For women, it tends to be different. We have research documented it. It is just clearly defined that women have a longer sales cycle than men do in buying. Look at the mall. Just go to a mall, okay? Just research. You could do your own little research when you're out there shopping. You know, men tend to go there for a mission. They tend to be on a destination. They tend to have a specific product or actionable item that they have. You know, it's an action item. I've got to pick this up. They go in. They tend to find the product. They don't think quite as much as women do about the purchasing of it, and they act and then they leave. Women, shopping is more of an experience. They will tend to browse. They tend to collaborate with other women. They like to do this in a partnership. They tend to think quite a bit more about the sales process. Maybe I should go here. Maybe I should find this. They tend to spend a lot more time in the process, and they enjoy it. Or I should say most women seem to enjoy shopping, but for others that don't, they still have these feminine attributes. So the salesperson has to understand what are the buying triggers for a woman. And in the book, we cover everything from the greeting, how you greet the woman, you know, how do you say hello, the amount of eye contact, how do you shake a woman's hand, all the way to here are the three active listening skills that women appreciate in the sales process, to then all the way into here are some the closing techniques that women are most comfortable with, to how do you then build that relationship so that you build your business through referrals.
Okay. Now, in your book, you say that women's talk is collaborative while men's talk is competitive. Can you explain that to our listeners?
When you think about if you're in sales, whether it's you or your spouse selling, you'll ask them, what happens when a man says, I want to think about it? He typically goes, that's it. It's almost like his way of saying, the deal is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But when a woman says she wants to think about it, she literally does think about it. 76% of all those who we researched, women who say they want to think about it, actually do. They tend to want to collaborate with others. So let's say it's an expensive product. Let's go back to whether it's a car or financial services or a home. You tend to not want to make those independent decisions without collaborating with people in your life, with other business owners that you have relationships with key advisors in your life. You tend to go back and talk it through, or you'll go online, you'll do research, or you'll buy magazines about it, or you'll buy a book about it. So we tend to want to collaborate, whether you're finding information from an author or you're finding information from your neighbor. We tend to spend a lot more time thinking through that process. So that's where it's collaborative. And that's just part of our gender communication differences, because men and women do communicate quite differently in our style, and that's a core difference in our gender communications.
Okay, now in addition to being aware of gender differences, there are also cultural differences. So what are some of the keys in selling in a multicultural market?
You know, it's very interesting because women's tendencies tend to be universal when it comes to, you know, communications and so forth, their gender communication differences, except that you do have to be sensitive to the culture that you're selling to. So today we have, you know, a good percentage of our population are Hispanic. Latina women, while they are very much a decision maker and an influencer in the home, to the public eye, they may be a little bit more quiet in a sales call. So, for example, let's say you're selling cars to a Latina family. Typically, it's a husband, wife, the children, and extended family who will participate in that call or that purchase. Women are absolutely a decision maker, but yet they tend to be kind of the influencer behind the scenes, or not as vocal or as upfront. And now I'm talking about, you know, maybe first generation or those who have just migrated. Those who are, you know, second, third generation in, at that point they become a lot more Americanized and assimilated, and you'll have a Latina woman who is second generation here, college graduate, and, you know, she tends to be more vocal.
Okay.
So it's understanding the cultural differences that will absolutely help you make the sale.
And one final question. What advice would you give to our listeners for someone who wants to get into sales?
The first thing I'd say is understand that no matter what you're selling, the woman customer is probably the most valuable customer you will ever have. And that is because she will refer you on average 3 times as likely as a man is to refer you. So there are only 3 ways to make a sale. Okay? There's new business. So those are your cold calls in a sense. There are renewals, okay, people who will come back to buy your product. And then there are warm leads. Those are your referrals. That's a salesperson's dream, is to have their business completely from referrals. That's what we'll call salesperson's heaven. And the way you want to have that happen is that you would build your business as much as possible among the women who you touch in the sales process, because if they like you, appreciate your product, really appreciate the service you provide them, they will go out of their way to refer you. And if you ask them for a referral, they are way more likely to provide that to you. And that's what we talk about even in the book, Winning the Toughest Customer, because it really shows you how you could build your business. Like, for example, I say it in the very beginning of the book, if you learn to sell to women, because women tend to be the tougher customer, but the more loyal customer and the best consumer in the country. So if you learn how to sell to her, you could sell anything to anyone better.
Thank you so much for your insights. It's been really fascinating, Delia.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And everyone go out there and win her over.
And we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Your Career Doctors on Grapevine Radio. I'm your host, Barbara Jackson, and I'm here with our co-host, Lee Miller. That was a great interview that you had with Delia. I was really, really fascinated by what she had to say.
Yes, it was terrific. I mean, her points on becoming a salesperson and the importance of, you know, as a great career and what a great career being a salesperson is, I thought were really, really insightful.
Absolutely. You know, there was another thing that I'm interested to find out is why, when I go into, not a department store, not a clothing store, but when I go into any other type of establishment that has commissioned salespeople, other than real estate, they're not as frequently women as they are men. Why do you think that is, Lee?
Well, I think that that has a lot to do with the way women, especially women who are not familiar with sales, look at the sales process. They kind of view it as a very competitive, kind of that male sales model, and we have to deal with sales quotas and the, you know, close, and they don't feel comfortable with that. But you know, in today's world, there's another model, and actually more and more businesses have adopted that model because it works. It's what I call the relationship model of selling, and it focuses on building a clientele and developing repeat business by building a relationship with the client. And if women look at selling in that light and look for environments which of you selling in that light, they're going to feel very comfortable and actually be very successful as salespeople.
So how can you tell the difference? What type of salesperson is the best type of salesperson for a job? I mean, you've just given two descriptions of different types of sales. Repeat.
I think no matter what you're doing, the relationship model works because the best way to make sales is to get continued sales. But some types of businesses, you're talking about single sales, you never see the client again. They really tend not to give referrals. They're smaller purchases. And those kinds of sales may be more likely to have the competitive sales model. I mean, selling cars, although I do think the relationship model works and some businesses have very successfully adopted that relationship model, they still tend to run on the old model of which is more male and more competitive, and that's why you tend to have a lot of more male car salesmen. But the women in that business and actually the car sales, the dealers who have adopted a more relationship model have done really well. But in most businesses where the sale is bigger, and sometimes you have team sales, you're going to have more of that relationship model. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, women are going to do very well in that kind of business.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm also wondering, as you're talking about this difference between relationship selling and competitive style selling and how more businesses are adopting relationship selling, I think it's true that the last several times I've called into a call center to make a sort of one-time only purchase,
mm-hmm.
that or a price determined purchase, so there was no relationship in it, that the frequency of talking with a man versus a woman, more frequently I've talked with a woman. And I'm wondering if, as an employer running a call center, I wouldn't really seek out women who could rapidly establish a relationship and make that sale, because it's not a face-to-face thing, but you know, if it's a price point type of sale involving a relationship, I'm more likely to stick.
Yeah, you're more likely to get not only that sale, but notwithstanding the fact that you may look at that as a single one-time price point, if you develop a relationship with that salesperson or that call center person and you're comfortable, you know, with the end result, if you like the product, like the way it works, you're going to come back to them. So the relationship is very useful.
So,
plus the notion that if it doesn't work, that there's somebody who you can call back, even if it's not
right.
going to be that one person, but if they make you feel comfortable with that, you're more likely to buy, and you're more likely to buy again and again and again.
So the relationship really, particularly in call centers, the relationship, we need to change how we think about it a little bit. It extends beyond me, the salesperson, to include the company that I'm representing. So
well,
I'm really helping the customer develop a relationship with a larger entity.
Exactly. That's the relationship you want to develop. It's the way to look at it is a relationship you're building on behalf of the company, because you won't be the person probably taking the next call, but they will feel like they have a relationship with the company if you've done your job right. And women are very good at that, and women are better at building relationships, and to the extent they learn how to sell, and selling can be learned, they're very good at it. I've always had, you know, been in businesses at TV Guide, USA Network, where we had large selling forces, and a lot of them were women, and they were very effective.
So that leads me to my next question for you, Lee. So thank you very much for that segue. where do I go to get the skills I need to learn how to do relationship selling?
Well, you know, there are a lot of different places you can take training. You can take live training. In fact, you can, you know, I do some of that training myself. But we also have, through our partners, Macau, a online CD on selling skills, where I teach people how to do relationship selling.
And I'm guessing that when we get to our prescription section, you're going to tell our listeners that there's a coupon.
Well, not at the prescription section, but yes, we will be offering today a discount. It's regularly $149 to purchase the Effective Selling Sales Plus CD, but we'll be offering that today for $79 for this week.
Great. Well, I'm sure our listeners would like that. You know, another way that I see a lot of my friends, particularly those that are maybe rejoining the workforce while their children are in school part-time.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a space of time in the day, and they think, well, hey, I can fit selling in here. I can be a real estate agent. I can be a cosmetic salesperson selling through my network of friends. And there are a number of different companies that do that type of thing. And I noticed that some of them are very successful when they do that, and some of them aren't. And I'm wondering if you would validate for me what I see is one of the huge differences. The women who think of a part-time job as a full-time commitment, not meaning that they have to take 24 hours a day, but they treat it with the same respect as if that was their only source of income. And they you know, get up, they make their to-do list, they make their phone calls, they take it very, very seriously. And then there are people who it's sort of like, yeah, I could take and leave this job, and so they get the results that they expect. It may be that both of them could be very good salespeople. It's just that one puts in the effort and one doesn't. So how do you help people who maybe don't know how to granted, they can buy your CD, but how do you get that mindset?
Yes, by going to our website, they can certainly buy our CD.
But how do you help women get – you do a lot of coaching. How do you help women get that mindset about selling and what to do and how to start and how to stay motivated?
If it's a part-time job, it's still a job. And sales is a lot about just persistence. It's a numbers game. The more people you call, the more people you talk to, the more people you develop relationships with, the more sales you're going to get. I kind of like think of sales more like baseball than brain surgery. In brain surgery, you've got to be right 100% of the time, but in sales, if you make 3 out of 10 sales, that's great. That's huge. So if you're batting 300, you're going to do very well as a salesperson. So it's not about getting every success. But if you don't make the 10 calls or 100 calls or 1,000 calls or however many you've set out in your schedule today to make, then you're not going to make the sales, because it really is a numbers game. Some of it's timing, just being with the right person. Some of it is connecting with that person. So there are lots of, different ways you sell effectively. But ultimately, the more people you sell to, the more people you're going to make sales from.
And in order to be a salesperson, the very first sale that you have to make is yourself to your prospective employer. So do you have any tips for our listeners when they are re-entering the sales, job force, whether for the first time or after a long break, and they've not done sales before? How do they convince their salesperson, their boss, that they're going to be a great salesperson?
Well, it's like most interviews, actually. Much of it has to do with being enthusiastic about selling. So if you go in there enthusiastic and you're outgoing, I mean, when I used to hire people, I mean, for some jobs I wanted people who had experience selling, and I wasn't going to hire somebody who didn't have that experience. But for other jobs, I would be willing to take a chance on somebody who didn't have sales experience but had the right attitude, the right personality, and they really wanted the job and were willing to learn, because I firmly believe that anyone who is at all outgoing, I can teach to be a great salesperson, because that's really the only skill I can't teach. So if you want to be a salesperson and you just like people, then you can learn to be a great salesperson.
And I would think that the best place to start is not in a type of a job opportunity where you're on your own. So that cosmetics company that always has ads in the paper is always looking for salespeople. But if you really want a mentor, you need to go into an office where there are people to learn from.
Well, or to a company that has a good sales training program. I mean,
right.
Even if you're out on your own, you're not going to learn to be a salesperson unless someone teaches you. And so So you really do need to learn. There are skills you need to learn. So you need to find an environment where either you're working with somebody and you get to watch them and you get to learn from them, or the company has a good training program and you learn how to sell. But that's not to say that even if you just want to go kind of get your feet wet and see if you can sell, that you can't do it part-time, you can't do it from home. But you need then to, as we said many times, take control of your own career and learn those skills, find a way, go to our online training program or seek out some other books on selling and learn the skills necessary to be a
salesperson. And one of those books would be Delia's. So you can go to our website, yourcareerdoctors.com, and pick up Delia's book. You can pick up Lee's CD. We only have a few seconds here, Lee, but can you give us a prescription?
My prescription for today is to consider sales as a career. It's both emotionally and financially very rewarding.
Well, thanks for that tip. This has been Your Career Doctors, Barbara Jackson and Lee Miller at Grapevine Radio. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's your life, your career, and your choice.